The Earth's systems and not the sun system.
The Bible and geocentrism.
And God set them, sun, moon, and stars, in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Genesis 1:17. Notice, God set them.
Now, inside our so-called solar system, we have only the sun and the moon, from the verse above.
We know the moon moves. Therefore, when God set it in the firmament, the inescapable meaning is that he set it in motion on the track it follows. When he set them in the firmament, it is a grammatical imperative that he set the sun and stars in motion also on their tracks, just like he set the moon in motion on its track.
Dash, dash.
Then spake Joshua, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Joshua 10:12-13. Moon in these verses. Both heliocentrists and geocentrists agree that the moon is moving around the earth. No argument on that. Then we see that the scripture says that Joshua commanded not only the sun but also the moon to stop, and that both obeyed the command. He commanded both of them at the same time in the same breath in the same sentence to stop their motion. He obviously accepted as fact that the moon he was speaking to was a moon that was moving. Since, therefore, he addressed both sun and moon together in his command, it is a grammatical imperative that when he commanded a moving moon to stand still, he was also commanding a moving sun to stand still. A similar argument can be made for the movement of the stars from Psalm 8:3, where the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, is written. Ordained number 3559 is derived from the Hebrew number 5087, which means to place. The moon that was placed moves. So, grammatically, with the stars. Are you revisionist creationist leaders sure you want to insist that Joshua was telling the earth and not the sun to stand still, and that the Holy Spirit of truth caused the opposite of the truth to be recorded in God's word? What happened to God is not the author of confusion? I Cor 14:33.
10 degrees backwards.
Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. Isaiah 38:8. If something is moved backward, it must ipso facto have had a forward direction and movement. The shadow moved backward on the sun dial, undeniably the opposite of the way it always moved. The movement of the shadow is inseparable from the movement of the sun in this verse, for it says the sun returned. In short, the sun's movement, not the earth's, is flatly declared here, as well as in numerous other scriptures. See, what if, 67 references. One may argue that God really meant that the earth and not the sun is moving in all these scriptures, that he just used a language of appearance or phenomenological language, or some such polysyllabic excuse for accepting what science falsely so-called says over what the Word of God says. Unfortunately, this hermeneutical sleight of hand can and does make the creation days billions of years long, see, Kabbalah 2, P.2, the Noah flood just a local flood, the Virgin Mary just a young girl, heaven a superstitious myth, and on and on. Moreover, this method of handling scripture actually says that God has lied to us or is so inept with words that he couldn't communicate a simple truth about whether it is the earth that goes around the sun or the sun that goes around the earth. Semantics too can be unyielding on this subject. Let's take a hard look at the pronoun thou in Joshua 10:12, sun, stand thou still. Strong's Hebrew Concordance number 859 confirms what we would expect, namely, thou means you. So, semantically, what Joshua said was, sun, you stand still, and moon, you stand still too. Sun, you stop over Gibeon and moon, you stop over Ajalon. Since Ajalon is only 5 or 6 miles away from Gibeon, the sun and the moon are, cosmographically speaking, in the same place, i.e., in the midst of heaven. Being in the same place, the moon is blocking out the sun. Joshua's commands, therefore, are ordering both orbs which are at the point of full solar eclipse to move no further. Eclipses were known and not feared in those days, but when in response to Joshua's commands which all heard, V.12 a moving moon stopped, and stayed in front of a moving sun which suddenly stood still and hasted not to go down about a whole day, that was another matter. Joshua's enemies were understandably freaked out of their gourds, in the recent vernacular, and Joshua's soldiers avenged themselves. Clearly, the designation you applied by God to a moving sun cannot be and must not be twisted to say, you, earth, stand still, or you, time,
stand still. One may want it to say one of those, but the Bible simply does not say either one.
Bible scholars, of course, agreed on the plain language until Newton's Kabbalist math persuaded most of them that man's science had triumphed over Bible science and that they needed to adjust their interpretation of Scripture accordingly.
Theistic evolutionists.
Now, six-day creationists are, of course, well aware of the stultifying effect that theistic evolutionists have on the creationist movement.
Compromise with God's truth is harder to combat than out-and-out resistance, most would agree. A classic expression of this fact was saved for the very last frames of Hollywood's first version of Inherit the Wind, about the Scopes Monkey trial in Dayton, Tennessee in July of 1925. After incessant and thinly disguised mockery of Brian and Bible fundamentalism in general throughout the movie, Darrow, played by Spencer Tracy, alone in the courtroom in the final scene, picks up a copy of the Bible in one hand and a copy of Darwin in the other. He looks slowly back and forth at each book for a minute, thoughtfully weighing this one, then the other one. Then, smiling broadly as if in response to a revelation, he slaps Darwin and the Bible together, gives them a long look and an affirmative head shake, tucks them under his arm and walks out. Though not a word is spoken, his confident, satisfied amalgamation of the two made the point, put Darwin and the Bible together. And well could Hollywood revel in that silent visual message, considering the acceptance of evolutionism in the world and, more to the point, in the Christian churches since the Scopes trial in 1925. That movie and that scene were merely a dramatization of the ability of the theistic evolutionist concept to bring discredit and scorn upon the Bible as the source of absolute truth, while at the same time elevating science to the role of truth-giver, from thenceforward equal or superior to the Bible and able to make it bow when the two conflict. Fellow creationist, I submit to you that the same scene can be replayed substituting Newton's Principia for Darwin's Origin of Species. Together with Copernicus and Kepler's and Galileo's earlier efforts, and Einstein's relativity and Sagan's exobiology later, man's books denying the plain geocentrism of Scripture were, as in the Scopes trial, see, monkey trial put together with the Bible and theistic Copernicanism was born. All that had to be changed was where the Bible says the sun moves. Thereafter, we were all to understand that it really means the earth moves when it says the sun moves. As with evolution, just change the 6 days of creation to millions of years, here, just change sun to earth. Quite simple really.
See, changing a biblical word. After sun and earth were switched by those trying to accommodate both Bible and what they thought was science, the churches gave in everywhere, just as most have given in to evolutionism since Darwin, and particularly since the Scopes trial. The Christian compromise with Copernicanism established the one and only criterion needed for the success of Satan's evolution myth in the world first, then the churches.
The criterion?
Again, quite simple. Plain scripture can and must be reworked to match the claims of science falsely so-called. As a six-day evening and morning creationist, I, as one of you, submit that there is a way to undermine the idolatrous non-secular science establishment upon which rests the evolution myth you detest. If you are interested in restoring and certifying Bible credibility, prayerfully consider, a, getting informed about the weakness and vulnerability of the heliocentric model, and, b, boldly attack that Bible-bashing model and watch the attack spread to evolutionism, and all that is built upon both of those myths, c, new evidence proving Copernicanism is the keystone of the Big Bang paradigm, c, keystone, and that this evolutionary model of the universe is derived from the Kabbalah and thus cannot be financed in the USA under the Constitution can be seen. See, HB 179 Model Part 1, HB 179 Evidence Part 2, HB 179 Addendum Part 3. If creationists will stand up for God's word on geocentrism and refuse all compromise, they will see that their fears of embarrassment, etc., are not from God. 2 Tim 1-7. Sir Fred Hoyle and other prominent astronomers and physicists have admitted that the geocentric model is just as good scientifically as the heliocentric model, see, quotes, contemporary scientists, and it is certainly a whole lot better scripturally. Indeed, a far more biblical and scientific model which shrinks the whole universe to less than one light day's thickness and exposes all of modern cosmology as a pseudo-scientific sham can be seen in a 7-part series beginning. See, Size Structure Part 1. In short, the world has been systematically indoctrinated to believe that the Bible-bashing, earth-moving Copernican model is a scientific fact beyond challenge.
The truth of the matter, as any can confirm for themselves, is that not only the Copernican model but the entirety of modern cosmology is a massive deception and totally vulnerable to exposure as such. Some links that will lead to confirmation of that statement can be tested in the Kabbalah and Size and Structure series, see Kabbalah 1, Size Structure Part 1. After a person finds out that evolutionism is a contra-scientific and utterly goofy explanation for the ineffable complexity of design and function of the entire plant and animal and human life forms, theistic evolutionism becomes a cheap cop-out position that is a lukewarm abomination to God, Rev. 3:15-16. Creationists know this is true. Likewise, after prayerful consideration of the scriptures and the scientific and logical evidence supporting a non-moving earth, it should be obvious to all truth-seeking Bible believers that the theistic Copernicanism compromise can fare no better in God's sight than the theistic evolution compromise. Both compromises stink. God's absolute truths cannot be compromised. Period. He will have no other gods, false science, or otherwise changing his word and usurping his glory. That's the way it is. You can count on it. Therefore, it is time for Bible creationists to either broaden their attack to include Copernicanism and do so with a whoop exclamation mark, or recant on their belief in Bible inerrancy on the six-day creation. A non-moving, geocentric earth is taught in the Bible just as plainly as the six-day creation, see 67 references. Indeed, as noted, the creation account makes it clear that there was no sun to go around until the fourth day, yet there was light and darkness, evening and morning, see Genesis 1:5. Let no Christian be counted amongst the various kinds of sun worshippers that dot the historical record. Solar system, my foot. God created an earth system, not a sun system. Copernicanism makes the sun the center, the source of life. God makes the earth the center, the springboard of his master plan for eternal life. This unmovable, P'S.93:1, earth is the place where his only begotten son would obediently carry out that plan. It is the place where the new earth, is.65:17, 66:22, Rev.21:1, will exist forever right here at the center of the universe after this old earth has been burned with fervent heat and dissolved and has fled away never to be found again, is.65:17, 2 Pet. 3:10-12, Rev.20:11. Time is up for the churches on this one, see, House of God. By allowing the takeover of the physical sciences through their surrender to Bible-bashing Copernicanism, the churches opened the door to the takeover of the rest of man's knowledge by deceptions disguised as science, see, Knowledge Impact. Now that this takeover extends through the natural sciences, the social and behavioral sciences, the arts, mathematics, and religion, it is time for God's judgment on the churches, I Pet. 4:17-18. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, I John 3:8. These mega-deceptions are the works of the devil. Truly, the devil's time is short. Rev.12:12, come out of her, Babylon/confusion, my people. God says, Rev.18:4. The church is in Babylon/confusion up to its steeple tops. Creation is the cornerstone of Bible credibility. You can put that in italics and capitalize it. Creation is the cornerstone of Bible credibility, okay? A non-moving earth and a six-day creation have been tampered with, and credibility has all but been destroyed as a result. God's judgment begins with the restoration of those foundational truths of Genesis 1 in his churches first. Rev.14:6-7, I Pet.4:17-18. The call for God's people to come out of Babylon, i.e., confusion, Rev.18:4, begins with exposing the taproot of all modern Bible bashing. That taproot is the Copernican lie. None of us is stranger to deception. It's everywhere. The only way out of deception is to continue in God's word. Don't change it to fit clever deceptions. Continue in it. That done, God promises, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free of Satan's lies." John 8:31, 32, 44.